relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Dear friends, welcome back to America First One-on-One. Before we get down to business, this is a topic I am massively interested in with somebody who knows of what he speaks. Let me just thank all of you who have donated to our Food for the Poor campaign. We are watching the horrors in Ukraine much, much closer to home in our hemisphere. Hundreds of thousands of children are going to bed hungry. From a lovely 16-year-old girl who understands that this is something we can change so very, very easily. Listen to Sarah.
Hello, this is Sarah from El Dorado County. I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two, and it's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And so if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Talk to you later. Bye.
16 years old and she's raised $80. If you earn more than Sarah does, will you be a guardian angel? Please help these children. They're innocent. They go to bed hungry. They wake up hungry. You can make a difference. Food for the Poor has the food. It has been donated, but they just need to get it to those suffering children. $88 once will feed a child for a whole year and provide them clean drinking water for life. Be that modern missionary, as our Lord and Savior told us. Come unto me, the little children. Call today, 855-330-HOPE. Make a donation in any amount, as much as you can. That's 855-330-4673. Or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Give Life banner. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A and the Give Life banner. He was in the studio recently, and it was such a scintillating, tantalizing interview. We said, we got to get him back for the whole hour. My former White House colleague, former senior director for strategy in the Trump administration, in the National Security Council. He is the author of several books. Stealth War is the first. He's got a brand new one coming out imminently called War Without Rules. He used to fly stealth bombers. He's a general, retired U.S. Army. I prefer to do the British thing. Brigadier Rob Spaulding, welcome back to America First.
Great to be back. Thank you.
So we brought you in to discuss the no-fly zone concepts, whether it's a good idea, bad idea, the performance or underperformance of the Russian Air Force in the last 3 weeks in Ukraine. But we can't talk about Russia without talking about the other big pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, especially China. Let's continue first the discussion of how they plug in to the Russian efforts, how the sanctions strengthen China's position vis-a-vis Russia, and this interesting statement you made that maybe China can't help themselves when it comes to doing something egregious like invading another country.
So, first of all, the Russians have asked China for weapons to aid their effort in Ukraine. Prior to that, the Chinese have refused to join sanctions against Russia or even call the invasion of Ukraine an invasion. For the most part, the talking points coming out of China are that the United States created this conflict, that actually the United States and the West, NATO, provoked Putin to invade Ukraine. So when you look at this holistically, you say, well, and we have the administration just came out and said, somebody leaked this in the administration, that the administration is looking at how to drive a wedge between Russia and China, and they think that Ukraine might be the opportunity. And I read that article, and I said, well, does that mean that they think that they can get a closer relationship with the Chinese Communist Party because therefore they'll, you know, stop supporting Russia? And it just it just tells you how fundamentally disconnected Washington, D.C. is from how Russia and China work. Because in essence, they're both on the same side, countering the United States, countering NATO, and countering the international order that we built after World War II.
How is that possible? I mean, you've served as defense attaché in Beijing. Will you speak to the lack of understanding in this city, Rob?
So you know that I wrote a report about 5G. That report got leaked to the media.
The telecom 5G.
The reason that report got leaked to the media was because industry got wind of that report, which was calling out the challenges and opportunities with regard to 5G, particularly Huawei.
And the IT China giant, the telecoms giant.
Correct. Well, it was actually our telecoms giants that got wind of this and then put pressure on the administration to get rid of me. So the reason you don't have either the administration, political appointees, or even now they've stopped in the HPSI.
What is HPSI?
The House Intelligence Committee. They had an ongoing dialogue, an ongoing investigation in China's infiltration of the United States. That's been discontinued.
Can we just stop here, because it's so crucial, given your panoply of knowledge, serving in Beijing, serving in the NSC, serving in the U.S. Air Force, now writing the books for us to understand China. Explain to us why this 5G thing matters, what China and Huawei wants, and why these aren't private free market actors. Explain the strategic objective when it comes to telecommunications and data processing worldwide.
Okay, so before I do that, I'm going to tell you how policy gets made in Washington, D.C., because it's integral to the problem that I was just talking about. The reason that Congress and the reason the administration don't go after China for supporting Russia, and the reason they don't want to, is because the U.S. corporate sector and the financial sector puts pressure on them not to say anything about China.
Because
they're invested in China, and because China and many of the companies is invested in them. And so it is this this financial and economic relationship between our corporate sector, our financial sector, and the Chinese Communist Party that is preventing any kind of criticism of China in supporting Russia. Now,
and in all of those relationships, where does national security fit in for these corporations, Rob?
So this gets to the heart of your question with regard to 5G, and it's a story that begins with my participation in the war in Kosovo. So I'm a young captain in the Air Force, had just left the B-52 to come over to the B-2. I'm planning missions for B-2s that are dropping bombs in Serbia. You remember?
This is 95, 96?
1999. April of 19, actually 2 months around the April timeframe. But you remember what happened in that war?
Yes.
We dropped bombs
on the Chinese embassy.
So that's a whole story in and of itself.
Was that you, Rob? Did you do that?
That was not me. But I'll tell you this, and this is, you can go look up the record on this. What happened was the CIA picked the target. It was the only target that the CIA picked in the war.
And they thought it was what?
Well, what happened was they had a map of Belgrade, which the embassy was in Belgrade, the capital of Serbia. Well, they knew where the embassy was on the map, but they didn't have the street address for that location. But if you went over two streets over and you picked that same street location, they had the lat long for that number. So 617 or whatever it was.
On another street.
So okay. Well, if that's 617, you know, 23rd Street, then this building must represent.
Because all European streets have rational
line up.
Numbers,
they
right?
They all line up. And so that was problem number one. So they passed the lat long based on this just copying over two streets over and saying this must be the building. It wasn't. That's problem number one. Problem number two is we have a database for, you know, highly, you know, high valued sites where, you know, we go through this database to make sure that if we're dropping on a target, that it's not near an embassy, it's not near a hospital. they had not, so the Chinese had recently moved their embassy, they had not updated the database. So anyway, the B-2 guys dropped on the target that they were directed, and that is the latitude, longitude. They dropped, so it was a perfect mission.
But the CIA...
The CIA...
Lesson number one of this interview, America First one-on-one with B-2 bomber, former defense attaché in China, Brigadier General in the U.S. Air Force, retired. Don't let the CIA run your wars. Follow him on Twitter at Robert_Spalding. The Twitter account is it has a little bio insert. Politics is war without bloodshed, while war is politics with bloodshed. We'll explain all of that here on America First. If you enjoy our interviews as much as we like making them, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Go where you get your podcast, like Spotify, look for my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe today. It's a great price. It's free. And write us a review. If you haven't done so already, dear friends, register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year. Israel knows they got it wrong with their vaccine passports, and they're opening up. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going with my great Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Places you may have only read about in the Bible, we're actually going there. Register today. Reserve your seats. StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics ready configurations, class leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
Rob, General Spalding, let's start with, you served in communist China as the defense attaché. What is the first thing people who have no education, no understanding, have never traveled to even Asia, need to know about this country? What is the first misunderstanding? Let's start there.
Well, so I went there in 2002 to 2004. I studied at a university in China, Tongji University. The year prior to that, the year that September 11th happened, I was learning Chinese. So I spent a year at Defense Language Institute learning Chinese.
Oh, a hardship post in Monterey, right?
It was tough, you know, right by the golf course. So I spent 2 years in Shanghai with my family, and it was an incredible experience. But I really didn't get an understanding of the government. I got to know the people, the history, the culture, the geography of China, but I didn't get to understand the government. And so getting back to how you think of warfare, you know, this, you know, coming of age, dropping bombs, you know, in places like Serbia, the lessons I learned about war was basically this. In Serbia, we were trying to get rid of Milosevic, or at least to get him to stop killing the Kosovars. That was Clinton's stated, you know, that's what he wanted to do. That was in the interest of the United States that we stopped that. The way that Clark wanted to do that was put boots on the ground. Clinton said, no, we're going to use air power. So for the first 45 days of that war, I was planning missions to go after empty barracks and ammo dumps. Why? Because Clark wanted to prepare the battlefield for the entry of boots on the ground. The president said no. Now, what happened? The war changed at day 45, where we actually understood the network supporting Milosevic, and we began to put pressure on them to stop the war. Now, how do you think we did that? We started using B-2s with 2,000-pound GPS-guided bombs to take away their assets. How do you get to an elite? You take away their assets, much like you see what's happening to the oligarchs in Russia now. So what Clausewitz said, as you know, is that war is politics by other means. In other words, war is a political act. What we did in Serbia was basically force the political leadership to give up Milosevic, and he ended up going in,
to the Hague.
So that war went 45 days, and then when we changed to putting pressure on the elites, it was over in 2 weeks. Okay? So this is the context.
So the context is your lesson learned in the campaign about former Yugoslavia is you have to know the right pressure points. If you're pressing the wrong pressure point, you can drop as many MOABs as you want. It's irrelevant.
Right.
So talk to us about what you learned about the Chinese government's pressure points.
So I come back from China in 2004, and I'm like, when I retire from the Air Force, I'm going to go live in China. It's the greatest place.
Really?
They're doing all kinds of business. You know, again, I didn't know anything about the government. I just knew the people were great, and I had a great time.
But what was it about it? Was it like it was buzzing?
It was on fire. There was cranes all over the places, buildings being built, companies being built. That was right when they entered the World Trade Organization. It was so exciting. I told my wife, I want to go back to China. So fast forward, I raised through the ranks, and eventually the Air Force says, hey, we want to send you back to China to be the defense attaché. So I go, the first job on this journey that they wanted to groom me for was Council on Foreign Relations in New York, then the joint staff working for the chairman, then to Beijing. When I got to the joint staff working for the chairman, that's when I, you know, began to understand that there are other ways that you can put pressure on elites. You don't need weapons to do that. If you create an economic or a financial relationship with an elite and you threaten to take away their wealth, that it is an equally powerful thing.
You're talking about non-kinetic warfare.
So it's basically using the elements of globalization and the internet to do the same things I was doing with a B-2, but do them without bloodshed. So if war is political, then being political with the elites of the West was the way that China was going to win the war. And this is unrestricted warfare. This is what those two PLA colonels wrote about.
In 1999, so this is a seminal work written by two senior PLA, People's Liberation Army colonels, which is an explication with a little bit of propaganda filled in of how you take down a kinetically more powerful nation like America. Sorry, carry on.
So the social contract, right, the thing that today, the people in China love Xi Jinping. They love the Chinese Communist Party. And the social contract that Chinese Communist Party have with the people is we will provide you security, job security. We will provide you everything that you need as long as you give up your liberty. And you do not challenge our right to rule over you. If you do that, then we're going to disappear you. But as long as you give up any pretense to having any say in how things go, you're fine. And we're not just fine. We're going to rob the world on behalf of you. Now, when you take that social contract and you try to push it onto the American people, what happens? They rebel. We rebelled against the king. Well, what these two PLA colonels figured out is you can create the same kind of conditions in the West that China had created in the East, and it's all about controlling the narrative. And this is where the coronavirus comes in. It really is about bringing together these concepts, the principles, doctrine, if you will, military doctrine of the Chinese Communist Party, into how geopolitics works, foreign policy works, national security works in the context of a post-Cold War world. In other words, we want to become partners of the elites in the West so that we can get them to see the world through our eyes so that when we start to have these, you know, issues that affect our interests, that the elites in the free world will be on our side against the population.
So it's like training a Pavlovian response into the West, despite them knowing that they're being trained to respond to China's interests. Okay, guys, this is getting fascinating. The new book you have got to pre-order. It is out in just a couple of weeks. Is War Without Rules by our guest, Brigadier General Robert Spalding, former B-2 pilot and former senior director for strategy in the Trump National Security Council. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. The hottest item right now on our merchandise store is the T-shirt with Vladimir Zelensky and a message for Biden. When we offered to evacuate him from Ukraine, he said, "I don't need a ride. I need ammunition." Get yours today. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, SebGorkaStore.com. And get all your America First, your Let's Go Brandon gear, and my books. The second one, Why We Fight, has a chapter on Russia, a chapter on China, the use of irregular warfare, which is our subject today. Check it out, SebGorkaStore.com. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code G-O-R-K-A. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Gorka. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code Gorka. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. The former president, the puppet president of Russia, Medvedev, made a statement last week directed to America. Let's listen to what he said.
Finally, a bizarre warning from the former president of Russia, now a security official, Dmitry Medvedev. He basically said that Russia had the right to put the U.S. in its place for, get this, stirring up, quote, disgusting Russophobia. Interesting take. Back to you.
Yeah, disgusting Russophobia, vice bombing hospitals. What does it say to you as somebody who has experience directing strategy in the White House when a former Russian president who's clearly a mouthpiece for Putin says America has to be put in its place, Rob?
Well, I mean,
is that a statement of strength?
Well, can you put America in its place? That's the question you have to ask. I think any tin pot dictator would want to put America in its place. The question that you're asking is, can we? And I would say we can today, or we, at least prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, they were able to, at least vis-a-vis Russia. So what I just talked about, this elite capture, this ability to get elites to look, think in your favor, that's globalization, right?
No, but it's the manipulation of globalization.
If right.
You say,
yes.
Say
it's a weapon.
This is their perversion of globalization.
It's a weaponization of against liberal democratic principles. To take the war a bit further, and this gets into your question about 5G. So now you know how they go after the elites. It's really about putting their wealth at risk. How do you go after the population? Because as we talked about last time, John Warden said, don't go after the population because it tends to backfire against you.
Right.
So, but these two PLA colonels figured out that Silicon Valley figured out how to go after the population. And
you've got to explain that. So what is Silicon Valley going after the population mean in English, Rob Spalding?
So these mobile smartphones, starting with the introduction of the iPhone in December of 2007, and the introduction of 4G networks. So the combination of the smartphone as a platform and wireless networks that actually had enough bandwidth to make them feasible as the thing that brought in, ushered in Uber, ushered in Facebook, ushered in, you know, the FANGs as a 25% of the S&P 500 portion of our economy.
The FANGs?
Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. So
he's
before
using all
that,
this terminology we got to explain. Sorry, Rob.
Before that, the top five, when the iPhone came out, the top five in market cap, Microsoft, ExxonMobil, Shell, AT&T, General Electric. They're in the toilet now.
They're gone.
They're in the toilet. The FANGs rule the world.
Meaning the social media,
the tech
comms,
companies.
Tech
yes.
companies.
So the Chinese see this and like, this is very interesting. We believe in political warfare. We figured out a way to get at the elites, but how do you get at the population? Silicon Valley designed the tools to get at the population. And so,
meaning the mobile phones.
The mobile phones. So the data that's collected on those phones gives you, the attacker, the insight into their intentions, perceptions, behaviors, and allows you to go back around and begin to change those behaviors. So
can I just stop you here for a second? So for a lot that are fighting back or trying to Silicon Valley, everything else, the internal argument is that the phone, the apps, the social media makes you the product. You think you're using an iPhone. You think you're using an app. No. You are the product because everything you click on, everything you choose, the information about you, your geolocation is sold every single day thousands of times. What you're saying is it's not just U.S. corporations using you, the user, as the product. It's China saying, hey, that could be really useful politically, in terms of espionage, in terms of economic warfare. They went to the next level. Correct, Rob?
Yes. So the tech companies, they say, okay, when you load a web page on your phone, that is real estate. As that page loads, there is a bidding war for the ads that are placed on that phone. And how that bidding war happens is the tech companies are telling them, this is where you are, this is what you like. And now the companies that are fighting to, and this is, by the way, this is the thing that you've been looking for most recently. And then they fight it out, whoever, for those ad space. Guess what? I can hack that. And the reason I can hack that is I can say, I know something important is going on right now. Say at the White House. There's this massive meeting happening and all these tech CEOs are going in there and I want to get them a message. How do I do that? I draw a circle, geographic circle, and time around that location.
You geolocate
and I say,
them.
I geolocate those devices and I say, I want to feed these ads. And the reason I can say these ads, because I can say, okay, while these ads would normally sell on the open market for a fraction of a cent, I can say, I'll pay 5 cents for an ad at this time in this geolocation. So I can send you an ad directly to your device. Now, it goes beyond that.
Hang on. Hold that. We're going to hold the going beyond that. But we're talking about is targeting information to the people who can give you what you want in terms of your national security. It's genius. We're talking to Rob Spalding. I'm Sebastian Gorka.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So I left you guys hanging. He had something to say about how the Chinese could geolocate individuals at a meeting in the White House. And you said they could put a targeted ad, pay extra, get it to those policymakers, newsmakers. But it could be worse. How could it be worse, Rob?
So again, let's go back to how policy gets made in Washington, D.C. The Chinese put pressure on a U.S. corporation. So one way, and I've seen this myself, a chip maker, for example, in the U.S. Huawei, the company that buys the chips, tells the chip maker, I want you to oppose policy that says we should not have Huawei in U.S. telecommunications.
And that company wants the deal.
They want to sell chips, right? So they go to Washington, D.C. with their lobbyists, and they say, if you don't allow us to sell chips to Huawei, we can't make money. Therefore, we can't invest in technology. Therefore, that'll be the end of us. And that, that resonates with Washington, D.C. Okay, so now you're sitting in that room and you're seeing this ad load and you're having a meeting at the White House on what you should do about, this kind of policy. And an ad comes from a U.S. chip company that says, we need to make sure that we don't, ban so-and-so from, being in U.S. telecommunications networks.
And so, you have no idea this is coming from a Chinese actor ad.
What a coincidence. This ad is basically...
Right. I'm on Politico.
It's like it's talking directly to me. Well, it is talking directly to you. And so that ability to target an individual... Now here's the next one. Okay, pick a political scandal. Pick any, like January 6th. Say, okay, now guess what? There's an ad for an article on January 6th that loads on your phone. So what I'm telling you is this doesn't stop at the water's edge, meaning your economic behavior.
Right.
It also transcends into social and political behavior as well. So now this is 4G. 5G has nothing to do with this.
Explain what 5G is.
5G has to do with the cameras, microphones, sensors, machines arrayed around the city that basically allow you to leave this at home. And the reason it allows you to leave this at home is because as you interact with the city, it's your face. It's the way you walk.
So they don't need to be tracking you on your phone. They can be doing facial recognition at the post office camera.
Bingo. And so what 5G is essentially this, and I witnessed this in 2017 when I was in China. You walk into a store, say a 7-Eleven, you grab a bag of chips, you walk out. You never pay for anything. You never hand somebody a credit card. You never even talk to anybody, right? And what happens is that camera sees who you are, recognizes you, understands that you have this credit card account, understands that you just picked up that bag of chips, charges you, and you walk out the door.
Is that happening?
It was happening in China in a form of that. In China, in 2017, you could order food in a restaurant on your phone, walk in, the server would greet you by name when they saw you coming in. Hey, Rob, and hand you your food.
And 2017, the customer thinks this is cool. This is convenient.
It's convenient.
Right?
It's convenient. So right now, I don't care who you are, you cannot get away from the surveillance in the United States or in just about anywhere else in the free world. It's built into how we built the infrastructure for this. As we move into 5G, so say you don't, I'm not going to have a smartphone. Forget it. I don't like to be surveilled. Well, guess what? As we move into 5G, you don't get a vote. The city watches you. And, just like this was used for contact tracing, what happens when these cameras are all over the city?
Yeah.
Like, I leave my phone at home. I want to go have this meeting because I'm worried that, somebody's tracking me. You see it on your iPhone. It pops up. Hey, do you want us to log this on behalf of COVID? No, please don't log this. Guess what? A camera just logged that for you, and that information got sent to somewhere
right.
else.
You pulled into the gas station to get some gas, and the camera got facial recognition.
What do we believe here in the United States? We believe in the sanctity of the individual. Freedom was granted by God. It's not granted by a government. It's granted by God, and that is instantiated in our Constitution. That's the whole idea behind the country that we established. And the way we did that is to say we are going to make power diffuse in this country. It cannot be centralized. It cannot. Yeah. What happened was we created this technology that enabled the aggregation of data about you, and in doing so gave those companies and the people that had access to that data power over you as an individual.
Is there any way put the genie back in the bottle? I mean, I know you've got your company, Semper.ai, but you know, those cameras aren't going anywhere. Nobody's going to take down those CCTV cameras. So, Rob, is this uninventable?
So what 5G was, and so I said challenges and opportunities. What are the opportunities? The opportunities rethink this digital panopticon we built for ourselves and make it more kindred to the principles upon which our nation was founded. The way that you do that is to ensure that all the data that's collected about you is encrypted. So encryption is a key important a part of that, and that the keys for that encryption, in other words, it's locked up. And you own the keys. And so if somebody wants access to it, they have to go to you to get the keys.
But that, because all that data is out there now, owned by Facebook, owned by Google, this has to be forced upon them. And we are a free market democracy. How do you force all that data that's out there back into a box that I, Sebastian Gorka, control if it's about me, or you, Rob Sporting, control if it's your data?
Good question. So what the opportunity that I envisioned was that 5G was this transformation of the internet. It was a transformation of our infrastructure, and it was the opportunity to then tie the licenses that went to spectrum holders, in other words, mm-hmm. the people building the networks.
Who are using the broadcast atmosphere.
Right. And so since spectrum is owned by the American people, it's a common good.
Yeah.
You get licenses to use it. The federal government could say, I'm going to grant you this license, but in order for you to use this license, the infrastructure that you build to do this is going to have to conform to certain standards, right?
Wow, that's
so
great.
The government does standards. So we're talking about standards built into our infrastructure that support the principles of democracy, but that are built into the technology that underpins these devices. And so that's where I said, this is not a political problem, or it's not a technology problem. You can do it.
No,
it's a political problem.
It's like warfare. It's not a question of technology. It's a question of will. Follow this man. I can't believe we're almost out of time. We could do a Joe Rogan here. We could do a four-hour version of this discussion. We need to get him back. In the meantime, the book, you've got to order it right now. Brigadier General Robert Spalding, War Without Rules, China's Playbook for Global Domination. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We are broadcasting to you one-on-one from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the nation, me included. But it's not just me, it's people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is Debron's story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Just those words, my hip pain is gone, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack. Whether it's your back, your shoulder, your knees, whatever it is, order it today at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. You know it makes sense. You've waited long enough. Do it today. Call a Relief Factor on 800-500-8384 or go to the webpage relieffactor.com. Do it today. ReliefFactor.com. Okay, this is nuts. I feel like we've been talking for 5 minutes. I'm so glad you were in the White House covering these issues for President Trump in the National Security Council. Got a couple of minutes left. I want everybody to order the book War Without Rules. I'm going to say one thing I think is the biggest thing that isn't understood with regards to China or Russia's way of doing war. You tell me if there's one bigger than that. For me, I think most Americans think war is a switch you flick. We live in peacetime, then Pearl Harbor happens, and we flick the war switch, we mobilize, and we go to war. Then we beat Tojo, we beat Hitler, and we have the armistice, we have the peace treaties on the deck of an aircraft carrier, and we flick the switch back to peace. That's not what China thinks. It's not what Russia thinks. It's not what Iran thinks. War is constant. Peace is the anomaly. Is there something I'm missing? Is there something bigger than that, Rob?
No, that's it. I think that the thing that you talked about with regard to you as the product, right? You as a product in the 21st century translates to you as the target.
Oh, that's good.
And that's what we don't understand.
You got to write that. That is a fabulous article. And then to solve it, everyone who's listening to this show, the millions of people, have to take action so that they are no longer targetable.
Well, they don't. They can't, because we've
through their politicians.
Through their politicians, we need. So just like, how do you obscure a target? You obscure a target by, you know, having smoke go in front of them. You know this. I mean, this
you
is
hide
what,
it.
You hide it, right? What encryption does, if it's built into the infrastructure and tied to your identity, what it does is allow you to hide. And when, in that hiding allows our democracy to thrive.
Do we have good enough encryption to do that for everybody?
We now have post-quantum encryption that cannot be broken by, which is means that it's not a it's not an algorithm that develops the encryption. It is a truly randomized number that's applied to an encryption standard that prevents a quantum computer from breaking it. That's the encryption that we have to apply. And, you know, more importantly, we have to build that into the infrastructure that powers these. Because if you don't, then there's no way to protect our democracy.
Fabulous. Absolutely. I'm not a geek. I'm not a wonk. But this stuff has got me excited. It's Stealth War is the first book. The new book, you can pre-order it right now, is War Without Rules. If you find these discussions as fruitful as we do, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. He is in the crosshairs of the cancel culture. Fascists, bank accounts canceled, big box stores banning him. Support him today. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for up to 66% off. Let's show them they can't put a good man down. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe today. Go to Spotify. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It's not common.
It's very, 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 very uncommon. This is in the first 3 weeks, and these are quite senior generals. The bottom line is that their command and control has broken down. Their communications have been jammed by the Ukrainians. Their secure comms didn't work. They had to go to single channel. That's jammable, and that's exactly what the Ukrainians have been doing to that. They use cell phones. The Ukrainians blocked the prefix for Russia, so that didn't work. Then they took down 3G. They're literally stealing cell phones from Ukrainian civilians to communicate among each other. So what happens? The column gets stopped. An impatient general is sitting back there in his armored or whatever vehicle. He goes forward to find out what's going on because there's no initiative. Again, there's no non-commissioned officer corps. There's no sense of initiative at junior levels. They wait to be told what to do. Gets up there, and the Ukrainians have very, very good snipers, and they've just been picking them off left and right.
This should have been a walk in the park for the fourth strongest military in the world, at least on paper, but not so fast. Dear friends, I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We're going to be talking about the latest developments in Ukraine. That was, of course, disgraced former General David Petraeus, who was CIA director for Obama, who well, had an affair with a reporter who was writing a book about him, gave her classified intelligence so it would make him look better. And, of course, who's allowing him onto their programs right now? CNN. Enough said. Let's talk about the other aspects of this war. We're going to have Rob Spalding explain for us in the one-on-one in our third hour. Former U.S. defense attaché in Beijing, former senior director for strategy in the Trump White House, in the National Security Council, about the Chinese aspects of this war. Chinese weapons already flowing. Of course, they deny it. But how are they profiting beyond the actual military operations of Russia in Ukraine? We will find out that and so much more from former B-2 stealth bomber pilot General Rob Spalding here on America First One-on-One. Dan Hoffman, former CIA station chief in Moscow, will be with us in the second hour. Mark Morano and John Solomon later in the first hour. But first, let's talk about another aspect of Russia and the Ukraine. Remember that company, Burisma? Even Joe Rogan is in on the deal. This is Joe's final recognition that what we knew a year and a half ago, even the New York Times is confirming it.
I mean, the New York Times just now is admitting that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. And, you know, we remember from the debates with Trump bringing it up to Biden, and Biden saying it's it's a lie, a flat out lie.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it was a lie. The New York Post had that story that was banned from Twitter, which was just outright crazy. That one of the oldest newspapers in the country.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's going to go back and apologize to them.
No, no one's apologizing.
The oldest newspaper actually in the land, founded by Alexander Hamilton. Now the New York Times admits that that story is correct. What's the date today? Oh, it's March. It's the first day of spring. It's the 21st of March, 2022. Let's wind the time machine back. Let's go all H.G. Wells to October 19th, 2020. What happened on October 19th, 2020? Well, a group of 50 former intelligence professionals, some of them very senior, up to directors of intelligence agencies, wrote the following letter to the American people. They're so modest. We are all individuals who devoted significant portions of our lives to national security. Some of us have served in senior positions in policy departments and agencies, and some of us served in senior positions in the intelligence community. Don't you know how important we are? Some of us were political appointees, and some were career officials. Many of us worked for presidents of both parties. Congratulations. We are all also individuals who see Russia as one of our nation's primary adversaries. All of us have an understanding of the wide range of Russian overt and covert activities. Perhaps most important, each of us believes deeply that American citizens should determine the outcome of elections. Interesting. American citizens should determine the outcome of our elections. It is for all of these reasons that we write now to say that the arrival on the U.S. political scene of emails purportedly belonging to Vice President Biden's son Hunter, much of them related to his time serving on the board of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma, has all the classic hallmarks of Russian information operations. If we are right, this is Russia trying to interfere in how Americans vote in this election. And we believe Americans need to be made aware of this. Who was the signator? Who were the people who signed that letter? 50 intelligence professionals, among them James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, the man who lied under oath in front of Congress saying, no, Americans aren't spied upon. They're not surveilled without cause. At least, not wittingly. Do you remember the phrase he used? So we might do it accidentally. We might collect huge amounts of metadata, all your outgoing calls, the numbers that you called. We may store them in a massive facility in Arizona, in massive data banks that we can dip into whenever we want. But, well, we don't mean to do it, so don't worry about it. Then Michael Hayden, the disgrace to the U.S. Air Force uniform, the general who served as director of the CIA, who is now on the board, fascinatingly, of one of the left-wing's fact-checking organizations, because he's so unbiased. Beyond that, shockingly, a former colleague of mine, when I was at the Rand Corporation many moons ago in the 1990s, Greg Treverton, that ran all of the intelligence research programs for the Rand Corporation. Many, many more, including Mike Morrell. Do you remember Mike Morrell? Former deputy CIA director who, you know, liked to go to Capitol Hill to undermine President Trump. Did they know they were lying when they signed this letter? Or are they just stupid? Either way, it's a problem. I have evidence that one of them really is stupid. Jim Clapper, when he ran the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, wanted to give an all-access pink Pentagon pass to the resident, the head of the KGB station in the D.C., yeah, so a KGB colonel could walk around unescorted inside the Pentagon because, hey, Cold War's over and we love each other now. So Clapper, clearly, is not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I've had run-ins with Mike Hayden. He's not stupid. He's a bad actor, but he's not stupid. Just like Morrell and the rest. They knew that it was real. They knew that nobody manufactured the laptops. They knew that they belonged to Hunter Biden. Those emails about 10% for the big guy, about me being, quote-unquote, in business with the effing chief spy of China that Hunter recorded, because he's no sharp tool either, on his laptop. Those weren't forgeries. Those were real. That is how deep the deep state is. Maybe that's part of what we're witnessing today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Places like Spotify. Go there right now. Punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe, write a review, share the links, and you'll never miss an episode. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.